chapter number 15 this morning, Luke chapter 15. And again, we're so glad you're here with us in the house of God. If you're visiting and you're looking for an old-fashioned church, amen, then you don't have to look any further, amen. And I love the old-time way, don't you? Thank God for the King James Bible. Thank God for the altar, hallelujah. Thank God for the old songs of Zion, hallelujah. And I praise God for that. And I'm glad Brother James is here with us. He's back this morning fixing to go to college, but he migrated down south a little bit, so we're glad you're back, amen. Hadn't God been good to all of us? You had I don't care what kind of week you've had, you made it till Sunday. That's enough to shout about right there. Amen. And you're in a good church. You're in America. You're under the preaching of the Word of God. That's enough to praise God for. Amen. And He's been better to us than what we deserve this morning. And I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm not going to have you stand. Normally, I have you stand for the reading of the Scripture, but this morning, I'm not going to do that because of the type of sermon that I'm going to preach. I'm not going to necessarily read a specific passage because we've been in Luke chapter 15 for all these weeks now. And as we're coming down to the end of this, I'm going to preach a message this morning. And God willing, I will preach a final message next Sunday that I've had for weeks and weeks that I felt like when the Lord touched my heart to preach that message that it would be the final message. Of course, that is not to say that the Scripture has been exhausted, because you can never exhaust the Word of God. Amen. You know what's going to happen after I finish preaching this series? Somebody's going to come in here and they're going to preach from Luke chapter 15, and they're going to preach something that you're going to say, man, what, Brother Gravely never preached that. Why didn't he see that? You know why? Because this book's alive. Amen. And it'll show you something different every single time and still tell you the truth. Amen. And I want to look at Luke chapter 15. Father, bless the message. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning. And God, I know there's people here that needs to be saved. And there's people here this morning that, God, they're saved, but they're not right with you. And they need to get right with you this morning. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, if you would, to deal with their heart in a way that only you can. Lord, help them to see themselves as they really are. And may we all do business with you this morning. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. If I was going to take a text from Luke chapter 15 and the story concerning the prodigal son here, it would be difficult for me to take just one verse for what I'm going to preach on this morning. Is I'm preaching on the subject, the pathway of the prodigal. The pathway of the prodigal. And the reason I did not take a specific text this morning, if I was going to choose a verse, it would be verse number 11, where the Bible says again, and we've used it many times, that a certain man had two sons. And the reason that I would use that verse rather than or just read the entire passage this morning would be because when you come to this passage of Scripture, you know this as well as I do, that there are two prodigals in this text here. And I want us to think about both of these boys this morning as an overview of what we're going to say concerning the pathway of the prodigals. You see, these two boys are separate, as we mentioned before, in one sense, but they are the same in another. And I would say it like this, that as we look at them, we know that they took two different paths. Amen? One went to the world and one stayed on the farm. But even though they took two different paths, they ended up in the same direction. I would state it like this. If you was going to leave this church and go to Fort Oglethorpe to go to town, there's more than one path to get to that destination. Amen? You could come out here and hit the highway and go straight up 2A, and you would be there in just a matter of minutes. But you can also take another path, but nevertheless, no matter what path you take, you'll end up in the same destination, the same direction. Well, when you think about these two boys this morning, and you consider them this morning, we think about the younger son. He took a hard path. If you look at verse 12 down to verse number 17, this younger son took a hard path, a path of defiance in verse number 12, as he defied his father and said, said, give me the portion of goods. He didn't deserve anything, but yet he defied his father as thinking that he deserved everything. And so he took a hard path of defiance, a path of departure. As the Bible said in verse 13, not many days, he took his journey into a far country. He took a path of distance. Amen. Now, anytime you defy the authority that's in your life, young people, listen, when you defy the authority that God put in your life, which is your parents, you're going to go down a hard road. Amen. And I would say to adults this morning, this probably don't go over well in a lot of places, but it is still the truth. When you defy the authority that God put in your life, you say, who's that? That's the pastor. Amen. Now, I'm not to run every aspect of your life, and I'm not to make the decisions in your life. That's up to you. And I'll tell you, when a man of God gives you a warning and you don't listen, you're going down a path of defiance, just like a young person is. Amen. And listen, you're going to go down a hard road, and the list just tells the truth. And then the path of departure. Many have went down. They've left the house of God. They've left their parents. They've left the church. And you're going down a hard road when you get out of church. It's a path. That hard road was a path of distance. Amen. And then it was a path of destruction. Amen. Because this boy loses everything because of the path that he went on. Now I want to just stop and say this. When you go down that path and you defy the authority that's in your life, and you say, well, I don't have to listen to the man of God. I don't have to go to church there no more. Every bit of that's the truth. You don't have to listen to a word I say. You don't have to come back another service if you don't want to. But I want you to know this morning, if God speaks to you and you rebel against God, you're going down a hard path, and you're going down a hard road this morning. Amen. Now, people, they love preaching, and they love the church, and they love the pastor until they get out in sin. And sin just makes people stupid, doesn't it? And when they get out in sin, you know what? All of a sudden, they don't want to hear what the man of God has to say. And they leave and say, I'm not going to go to that church. I'm going to find me another church. Most of the time, they never find another church. And if they do find another church because they got away from God, what happens is they don't last very long in that church. They usually wind up hopping around to four or five other churches, or they just get out of church altogether. Why is that? It's because they went against God. They went against His Word. You say, you're trying to put fear in me? Absolutely. You ought to be afraid this morning if you're leaning in that direction. The younger son, he took a hard path. He said, I'm going to the world, Father. And he did. And then the elder son, he took a hidden path. And you think about it, he never left the Father. He never left the farm. He never left the house. He kept continuing in the work, but yet he, in his heart, in a hidden place, he too went down a hard path. But it was a path that you couldn't see. On the outside, he was still doing everything that he was supposed to be doing. You know, there are people sitting in church today, and they know how to act, and they know how what to do, but in their heart, they are distant from God. The elder son was distant from his father. Even though he lived in the same place, even though he lived in the same house, he was in the same place, but he was distant. I want to say there are people that sit in church Sunday morning and Sunday night, and even on Wednesday night, but their heart is far away from God. They're every bit as much a prodigal as the one that goes out in the world. They just didn't take the hard path. They took the hidden path. It's tucked away in the recesses of their soul. The elder son took a hidden path, a path of pride, wasn't it? He's full of pride. You can't tell this boy anything no more than you could tell the other boy anything. He's determined. He's just as determined as what the other boy is, but he is full of pride. He thinks he's better than his brother. He thinks he, because he didn't go to the world, he's not a prodigal. He's still at home. I'm going to tell you, just because you're still here doesn't mean that there's not sin lurking in your heart this morning. And this boy, he was as far away from the father as the one that was in the far country. He just did it at home. He took a path of prestige. You know, if God ever does anything in any of our life, He has to break us down. He has to humble us. In order to bless us, we have to be broken. Now, we can humble ourselves before God, and we can get broken before God. The Bible said, he that is a broken and a contrite spirit, God will not deny. He'll show mercy. But I'll tell you this morning, if you harden your heart, if you stiffen your neck, if you say no to God in that pew, you may never go to the world, but you can shut God down in a pew just like you can anywhere else. Now, I'll tell you, that's a path of pride, it's a path of prestige. Nobody may know, but the Holy Ghost knows if you say no. I've seen people say no to God. And I've seen them stay in church. And I've seen their life be torn all to pieces. A path of pride, a path of prestige, a path of pleasure. But it was a different kind of pleasure, wasn't it? This boy took pleasure in his works. He took pleasure in his service. He did not take pleasure out in sin. He did not take pleasure out there in wallowing in the filth of this world, is what we would call it. But he took pleasure in who he was. It was the sin of self-righteousness. It was the sin of self-centeredness. It was the sin of thinking that he was okay when he wasn't okay. This boy didn't know anything about his father. Now I want to say this morning, if you're here and in your heart, you've said no to God, if God is dealt with you, but you've told the Holy Ghost no, you're just as much a prodigal as anybody else. And you must see yourself that way this morning. We must remember that in this text, only one son saw himself as a prodigal. And he didn't see himself until he hit rock bottom. That ought to be a lesson, young people, listen to me. You get out there in this world, God will let you hit bottom. And this boy hits bottom and he sees himself for who he is. He comes to himself. The other never did, which tells us that some people can live their whole life in church. They can live their whole life under preaching. They can live their whole life in a good atmosphere, a godly atmosphere, and never see themselves as who they really are. So the question remains this morning that we want to answer. What is the pathway of a prodigal? One went down a hard path. One went down the hidden path. But how do you link these two brothers together? Even though they took a different route. They're really on the same path. One may be hard and the other one may be hidden, but it's going to lead to the same place. What kind of a path is the pathway of a prodigal? Well, I would say first of all this morning that the pathway of a prodigal is a pathway of rebellion. Because whether out in the world or rather at home, both of these boys rebelled against their father. One rebelled against heavenly authority. The other, both rebelled against heavenly authority. Both rebelled against earthly authority. You have to remember when you take these three stories, the sheep wandered and the coin fell. But the son rebelled against his father. And the elder son rebelled against his father. There's a difference in the sheep and the coin and the boy here. You say, what is that? The boy had a conscience. Amen. The boy had a choice. The sheep wandered. He's just a dumb sheep. He wandered out not realizing where he went. But when that boy went to the far country, he made a conscience choice. God gave him a conscience, and God gave you a conscience. And you and I have to make a choice. That coin fell. He didn't even know it was lost. He didn't even know the condition that it was here. But that boy knew the condition that he was here. And that elder son had a father to help him see the right way. I'm telling you this morning, that's what the preacher does on Sunday. When he opens that book and he preaches the Word of God, he's not telling you what he thinks. He's not telling you what he knows. He's just trying to show you the right way. He's just trying to help you in this walk of life. You know, there was a time when you preached in the house, people would shout the house down. There was a time when you preached and the hallelujahs and the amens would roll from the front row to the back row. But I'm telling you, you go to churches nowadays and it gets as quiet as a church mouse. Amen? You know why? I'm going to tell you. One reason is because people. I'm talking about people. Some people are there because they're from the world and they've come in. But there's some people. They're prodigals at home and they're distant from God. And you see a lot of sad faces in the house of God. And I'm telling you, if you're right with God, there ought to be something in your soul and to put a smile on your face and some happiness in your heart. I'm saying this morning, when you're right, you feel good. Amen. But when you're wrong, you don't feel so good, do you? The elder son was miserable. He was angry. He was unforgiving. All these things. What are they? These are the product of someone that has rebellion on the inside this morning. Oh, think about it. A stubborn will can be seen in many different ways. Neither of these boys listened to their father. Neither of them wanted to do the father's will. Stubborn people, even in church, can try to disguise it. This first boy, he disguised it with the world. He just went out and went headlong into the world. He didn't care what nobody thought. The other one, he disguised it in his work, and he got busy, but yet he was still a rebel. You know, you can be busy and still be a rebel. Amen? You can be busy and still have stubbornness in your heart. The Bible said in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm telling you, after 27 weeks of preaching out of this text, and I didn't know that, I had no idea. I didn't sit down and say, well, I'm going to preach 10 weeks out of Luke 15. Oh, no. Just started one Sunday, and the Holy Ghost said, preach there again. And another Sunday, the Holy Ghost said, go back again. And for 27 weeks, he said, go back again and go back again. Yeah, I want to say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. After 27 weeks, you've been often reproved. You've been heard enough preaching to save the whole world. God has extended his hand of mercy. If you say no to God and you stiffen your neck, you cannot walk out this church and say, well, God never gave me a fair shot. God never gave me a fair chance. If your world gets turned upside down this week because you won't listen to what God says, you can never go out and say, God did not treat me fair. Amen. Oh, no. I think that if you go out into sin and something happens in your life, you'll know just like that. Mercy ran out. They sung about mercy, didn't they? But mercy will run out on you one day. Serious sermon this morning, isn't it? Hebrews 3 and verse 8, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. That's what they did. They hardened their heart. They were God's people. They had God's promise. They had God's leadership. But they spurned the invitation. They didn't listen. And because of that, they hardened their heart. The same chapter, verse 15 says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation. I want to tell you, if you can hear the voice of God speaking to you this morning, you're a blessed individual, friend. You better never tell God no. If the Holy Ghost whispers in your ear and deals with your heart and woos your spirit this morning, you better jump up out of your seat and come running to an old-fashioned altar. Don't rebel against God. You're going to pay a high price. You may get what you want, but it'll cost you everything in the end. I know a man that committed adultery. He was bent on it. He got what he wanted. And that hussy left him. Just like she left the one to be with him. You get what you want sometimes, but the price is more than you want to pay for it. I know I'm preaching to somebody this morning. I knew before I even left church or to the house this morning, I knew what the Holy Ghost would have me to preach. I'm saying this morning that the pathway starts with rebellion. You see, when you see somebody out there that have rebelled against their parents and they've rebelled against the church and they've rebelled against the man of God, but more so they've rebelled against God. That all that authority God put in their life, they rebelled against every bit of that. When you see them out there and they're doing whatever they're doing, whatever sin they're doing, just remember this. It did not start there. It started right here. It started with God sending a warning out. You see, every time we tell the Holy Spirit no, it gets a little easier to say no and a little harder to say yes. That's why some rebels never come home. The pride of their rebellion will not let them come back and say that I was wrong. I want to say the pathway of a prodigal is a pathway of rebellion. Secondly, it's a pathway of running, isn't it? Because both of these boys are running. Verse 13 is clear about the other boy. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country. You can see that boy running, can't you? But in verse 25, notice the Bible said, now his elder son was in the field. You see, one ran away from home. The other one ran into the field. The field was his place. It was his far country. It was the place with his domain where he could do what he wanted to do. And I thought about Jonah when I was thinking about this. You know, when you look at the life of Jonah in chapter 1, think about this. Jonah, he had everything he needed to run from God. Jonah had a boat to take him where he wanted to go. He wanted to go to Tarshish. So there was a boat going to Tarshish. He had the money to pay the fare. He had a group of men to sail with. The devil always give you a crowd. He had a captain to guide him and to guide the vessel. Jonah had a bed to sleep in, a place to lay his head. The only problem is this. Jonah's running from God. And Jonah could have said, well, look at all these things in my life. I've got a boat going where I want to go. I got the money to pay the fare. I got a crew that I can sail with, a crowd I can hook up with. I got a captain to lead me where I'm going. I got a place to lay my head. I got a roof over my head. I got a bed to lay in. Jonah had everything. The only problem was the storm hadn't come yet. Amen? And you mark it down. When people start running from God, there's a storm brewing out there. There's a sea. Say, well, I see them on social media, and I see them out in town, and they look happier than they ever been. Hey, it ain't over with yet, friend. There's a storm brewing out there somewheres, and there's a whale. I'm going to tell you something. You're either going to be in God's will if you're saved, or you're going to be in God's will, and you got to make a choice. Where do you want to be at? Do you want to be in God's will, or do you want to be in God's will? Because if you're saved, He's got one for you. He's got one for me. When the storms of life are raging, the songwriter said, stand by me. You got to be in God's will. I'd rather have a shepherd in a storm as to have a whale. You can run, but you cannot hide from God. You see, this morning, the Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good. A little click of a button, looking at something on the internet that your wife doesn't know about, God saw it. He knows about it. Amen. That little flirtatious thing, that little thing you said, God heard that. That plan that you're scheming, that thing you're manipulating, God knows every aspect of it. See, Brother Gravely, why do you preach that? Because it's so real in the day we live. And you know, I'm convinced that if our churches are going to have revival, and people's going to walk the aisle and they're going to get saved, and if God's presence is going to be real, you're going to have to just lower the blade sometimes. Amen? You're just going to have to preach on some things. And you know, it's needed. It's necessary. Y'all still with me this morning? Don't die on me because I'm preaching on sin. I'm telling you, God is sending a warning out. It may be the saving of one of your children. It may be the saving of your marriage this morning. But we're living in a time when people, they want to hear those positive sermons. So they like it. And I like shouting it out. I'll tell you what kept me through my teenage years. The men of God would preach to me, and it'd scare me to death. You got to have that kind of preaching. Your church will fall apart. Homes will fall apart. Young people, youth group will fall apart. I'm just warning this morning that, hey, listen, you can't run from God. You can run, but you cannot hide. I'm telling you, you can go to the other side of the world, and He'll be there before you get there. You can get on a plane, but when you land, He'll be at the end of the landing strip. I'm telling you, friend, there's no place that you can go on God's green earth that what He will not already be there. And He knows how to bring us to our knees. You can't run from God and get by with it. I'm saying this morning the pathway of a prodigal is a pathway of running. Running. It's a pathway of rebellion. Then it's a pathway of relationships. We don't have the time this morning, but in verse number 13, he takes his journey into a far country. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasn't by himself in that. But when he loses everything he got, verse number 16 said, no man gave. The crowd leaves when the money's gone. Hey, the crowd leaves when the party's over. The crowd leaves when they've robbed you of your purity and your virginity. The crowd leaves when you don't have any more. I remember, I've seen it as a child growing up. I watched it. As long as they's a 12-pack, as long as they's a case, everybody's around. Amen? As long as they's somebody's got the money for another round, everybody's around. If you're supplying the booze, if you're supplying the alcohol, everybody will come in. Listen, aunts and uncles and everybody. Friends, they'll show up. I'll tell you, when the last bottle's been drank, and when it's all said and done, the last cigarette's been smoked and the last joint has been rolled, guess what? They're going somewhere else. They're looking for another party. They're looking for another place. I'm telling you, listen, he had friends, he thought, but when hard times come, they were gone. Amen. And what about the elder son? He had friends too, didn't he? He said to his father, you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And I read that this morning. I thought, what kind of friends are they? Because if they were any real friends, they would have said to that boy, you're not right treating your father like that. Hey, young people, listen. You hear a young person wanting to rebel against their parents. If you're a real friend, you ought to tell them, say, hey, you ought not talk to your mom and daddy like that. Can I get an amen right there? You don't treat your parents like that. You say, well, if you knew what my parents, I want to tell you something, I don't care what your parents do. You wouldn't have life if it wasn't for your parents. Amen? They brought you into this world. They paid your way. Amen? They changed your diapers when you was a little kid. They gave you a bottle. They fed you. They kept you alive for the first years of your life. You owe your parents a lot this morning. We owe them, don't we? But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Be careful who your friends are. Now, we know when we're talking about out there in the world, that's easy, isn't it? Don't hang with that beer-drinking crowd. Don't hang with that dancing crowd. Don't hang with that gambling crowd. We know that. But what about the elder brother? He had friends. You know, I've seen in church, I've seen somebody hook up with somebody, and I'd say to myself, that is not good right there. Because I know that person. And they're going to corrupt that person. You say, well, Brother Gravely, we go to church together. You can be a friend to people that without being a friend with them. Is that right? You say, oh, we're supposed to, you can love people. That doesn't mean you got to hang out with them. You say, somebody got, if they got a long tongue and a negative spirit and they like to gossip about people in the church, you don't need to hang with that crowd. Can I get an amen right there? You say, well, they just feel comfortable telling me things. Well, make them feel uncomfortable. Is that right? Don't listen to... You say, well, how do I make them feel uncomfortable? You just tell them something like this. Well, we don't talk about people in church. Well, I'm just sharing a prayer request. Well, that's not how we do prayer requests at our church. Y'all still with me this morning? Oh, that'll make them feel... That'll make it a real awkward conversation, but you only have to have it once. You with me this morning? You know, people want to talk about this person. They want to talk about what's going on. And hey, you don't talk about what's going on in people's lives. Can we get an amen right there? And you don't investigate. You don't go right. Listen, you don't work for the FBI. Can I get an amen right there? Nobody hired you. You're not a private detective. You don't need to go out and ask 5 questions about what's going on in somebody's life. If they want you to know, they'll tell you. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, don't go around and start fishing neither, amen? And don't be an eavesdropper. I see some people, they walk around, they stand around and act like they're doing something, and they're not doing anything other than just listening to a conversation. And I'm going to tell you something. They're not even good at eating. You need to be a better eavesdropper. Can I go ahead and tell you that? Because you've blown your cover. We know. I like to say things that just shock them when they do that. Things, and it shocks the person I'm talking to. Yeah, you know, he shot him the other day. And they're like, what? Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, they're really breaking their neck then. But we live in a nosy society, don't we? Well, this sermon's dying by the faster, so I'm just going to drop her about 3 more inches right now. Because we'll all feel better, amen, when it's done. But, hey, you know, you say, why are you preaching that? Because we don't need gossip in church. And as far as I know, we don't have any. But if there's that much, I want to flush it out this morning. Can I get an amen right there? Brother, we don't need to know what's going on in each other's lives. We pray for each other. I know we share burdens. I know things we know people that are sick this morning. We need to pray for them. And there's nothing wrong with asking people, hey, are you okay or what you're going through? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you, church is no place for gossip. Church is no place for spreading rumors and things. And even if what you're saying is true, that doesn't mean it needs to be told. Amen? But this boy had some friends, but they obviously wasn't very good friends. You got to be careful who you hook up with. Even in church. While I'm here, let me say this. If somebody says, well, you know, I don't really get along with that person there in church. Well, you need to tell them, well, that's not right. And you need to get right with them. Don't you side with them on something like that. You say, well, Brother Gravely, why? Because you might be helping them go down the wrong road, a road of bitterness, unforgiveness. Well, they told me that person did them wrong, so what? One, they should have never told you that. Number two, you need to pray for both parties, but you still need to say, hey, you need to go get right with them. Because, you know, in a church, I don't know why I'm preaching this, but it needs to be said. In a church, you can fraction a church when people say, well, I don't like that person over there. Or I'm not going to talk to that person over there. Or I'm not going to have anything to do with that person over there. Brother Gravely, have you heard anything? No, but that just needs to be preached from time to time. We got to treat everybody the same. We got to pray for everybody. You say, why? I don't want to be responsible for helping somebody go down the wrong road. Relationships is important. And the problem with these two boys was that they had the wrong relationships with their father, so they had the wrong relationships with other people. And if your relationship with God is not right, your relationship will never be right with other people. Keeping a right relationship with God is how you keep a right relationship with others. Amen? You see, if I get away from God and my relationship with God gets wrong, then it's going to be that much easier for me to get angry at somebody or mad at somebody or fall out with somebody. Amen? But when you're right with God, amen, you know what happens? Even if somebody does you wrong and you just, you know, you want to give them an earful, you want to say something to them because maybe they did do you wrong. But when you start praying to God, you know, have you ever done this? Sometimes I pray to God and I don't want to pray about certain people because I know that the minute I start talking about praying about them, the Holy Spirit's going to want to talk about that situation, and I don't feel good about it. I still want to tell them what I think so I don't say nothing to God. And I know y'all are more spiritual than me. I'm just trying to help you this morning. I don't want to talk to God sometimes, Brother Ellis, about some people because I'm still mad at that person. You say, why? Because they acted stupid. And it ain't out of my heart yet. And it should be. I know y'all are a lot better than I am, but it ain't out of my heart yet. And I know the minute I say, Lord, help them, the Lord's going to say, yes, let's talk about that. So we bypass it, and then the Lord says, now look, we don't bring it up, but the Lord says, He keeps bringing it to your mind. You know you need to pray for James. You don't like him, but you need to pray for him. And the Lord said, and then you start praying for him, and God said, now you got to get that out of your heart. Yeah, he shouldn't have said what he did, but you can't hold that. Y'all know what I'm saying this morning? I'm talking about a right relationship with God keeps a right relationship. Hey, you want to know if people's right with God? Look who they hang with. Amen. You can have 1,000 people in a building, only 2 of them be heathens. I promise you they'll find each other before the sun sets. Amen. That's just the way. Birds of a feather, they flock together. Gossiping people can always find each other. Bitter people can always find each other. Unforgiving people can always find. Hey, the beer drinking crowd can always find each other. I'm telling you, they know how to hook up. Amen. There's somebody that'll hook you up with the wrong crowd. But it tells a lot, doesn't it? Psalms chapter 1, the word ungodly is mentioned 4 times in Psalms 1. And the word ungodly in Psalms 1, what it means is to not involve God in your life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's wrong with ungodly counsel? Well, it doesn't have God in it. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. There's his counsel. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly, those that do not involve God in their life, are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall perish. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, those that do not involve God, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now this morning, you can be ungodly in the sense that you could just go to the world like the first son. But you could be ungodly staying in church because you just don't involve God in your life. You never seek God about anything. That's ungodly too, isn't it? It's godless. It's ungodly. And there's people that they're just like this boy. They are at the Father's house, but they have no relationship. And finally, I'll close with this. The pathway of the prodigal is a pathway of ruin. It's the loss of earthly things. It's the loss of eternal things, but it's the loss of everything. You know, the only one that gains anything in this text is the one that comes home to the Father. And the boy at home, even though the Father said all things are yours, he couldn't see that. Because he didn't have anything in his own eyes. Because he didn't know the Father. And this morning I would say to you that if you go away from God, whether it be hidden or whether it be a hard way, you're going to ruin your life. You're going to ruin your life. You see, their elder brother had no love. He had no forgiveness. He had no mercy. He had no kindness. The other boy, he lost everything, but in the end, he gained everything back because he came back to the only one that could supply his need. This morning in this congregation, I do not know the hearts of people, but I did feel a heavy burden. When I got up this morning, I felt a heavy burden. And I was praying, and I really thought that I would just end this series today and preach today what I was going to preach last week. But the more I prayed, the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to preach this sermon. Because for 27 weeks, you have preached this text. And people have been given opportunity after opportunity to do what's right. That's what he told me this morning. And it's totally up to you. I don't know your heart. I don't have anybody in my mind in this building this morning. But if you're lost, you need to get saved this morning. And you don't need to wait. You need to come this morning to be saved. And if you're away from God, if you're backslid, I want to tell you this morning, I love you and I want to see you get right. I want to see you have joy. I don't want to see you full of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Don't hide that pathway in your life. You say, why? It'll ruin. You know, think about this. Bitterness has ruined probably as many, if not more, people than alcohol. It has. Because bitterness not only ruins you, but it ruins everybody around you that drinks the same cup. Brother Mike, I've seen dads get bitter, moms get bitter, and then just naturally children, they get bitter. I've seen a husband get bitter at that wife get bitter at that husband, and it ruined their marriage. Now, God can restore that, can't He? But you're going to have to come to the Lord, and you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to say to God, Lord, you're just going to have to come to yourself, like that boy did. That boy said, I'm coming home. I don't care what nobody thinks. I don't care what he was expecting people to say some things. I'm sure they did. He was expecting some people to think some things. But he said, I don't care what nobody has to say. I don't care what nobody thinks. If the Father will just take me. That's where you got to get in life. It's between you and God. That's the number one relationship this morning. And I wonder as we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.